I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to the Featured Anime Podcast. I'm your host, Jack.
And I'm Rick.
And today we're talking about Psychic School Wars, which was my choice for this week.
We mentioned it would be a palate cleanser for One Punch Man.
Oh, it was definitely a palate cleanser. I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah.
Just not a great palate cleanser.
You know, it's like if you go perfume shopping, you'll find that they have a little jar of coffee beans. And I found out recently, well, not recently, but I found out more recently than I'd like to admit, that is there to basically clean out your nose and bring you back to zero. So that when you smell the next smell, you'll be able to appreciate it and smell what it actually smells like with no mixture.
Mm, okay.
This is
the coffee beans.
In comparison to One Punch Man or our last podcast, this is not coffee beans. It's as if somebody took those coffee beans and put cat shit in there. So you're like, oh, that's a lovely perfume. I need to clean my palate. And they give you cat shit. You're like, what am I supposed to do with this? And they're like, smell it. And you're like, are you sure? Yeah, it'll clean your nose out. Uh-huh. And ruin your day.
It does that. So it aired October 2012. The producers for it were Aniplex, Sony Music Entertainment, Bandai Namco, just to name a couple. The studio for it was Sunrise. It's actually based off of a novel, and the genres are romance, school, sci-fi, and it ran for about an hour 45 minutes.
Hour 47 minutes, 55 seconds, to be exact. How do I know? Go ahead, ask me. Ask me. I've been waiting for this.
Because you love knowing facts like that. I mean, look, for you not liking this movie, honestly, for the studio, I am surprised.
I am too. I watched it on Funimation, who, granted, they've had some pretty bad anime, don't get me wrong. But most of the time, they're decent. Most of the time, it's not top tier. Although there was Bufuri and a few other from commonplace to world's strongest. I mean, they've knocked out of the park recently, but
well, they're the licensor. That all they're doing is acquiring the licenses. They don't actually have any control over the animation or the studios or what's being turned out. They're just trying to get the rights for it, which they do have some. I mean, like even that light from commonplace to world's strongest was even on Crunchyroll. It was also on Hulu. It's on several other platforms. The studio though, Sunrise, is known for Cowboy Bebop, XL World, Gintama, Inuyasha.
Well, no wonder it was good. You can't go wrong. That's like, let me reach in this pot of gold and see if I can get silver. Nope. Gold again. Darn. Anyway. So my issue with this isn't the story. Sorry, it isn't the imagery. It isn't the music, which, not gonna lie, I really liked. Like the music, it might be its only saving grace for my score.
The music was great.
Yeah, the anime quality was good too. Animation quality, surprisingly good. Colors popped. Detail stunning. Some of the stuff they did. They blended the computer animation with just wonderful. Wonderful. I can't. There's nothing wrong I could find with the animation quality, the music selection. Heck, even the voice actors were on point.
Voice actors were great. The artwork, the scenery, especially the scenery, was just beautiful. It was very tastefully done. It does a good job, I feel, answering some of the questions that they laid out in the very beginning. Like, for example, at the very beginning, Ryochi comes there. You see him walking and goes, so this is Earth. And then later on, he says, in this era. So it really left me puzzled and confused. It's like, okay, what the hell is he talking about? And then they finally do, a little bit later on, round it in and bring in and answer that question. But they don't do that for everything. And they just leave some things just like, what the hell am I watching? Why? What the hell is this?
Yeah, I would say it's probably a 70-30. What the hell am I watching? And yeah, granted. So normally we don't talk so much crap about an anime when we're also praising the quality of the show, the animation, the quality of the music, the voice actors. Usually those are our biggest issues.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think I've ever been like, the anime was great, but I've more often been, the anime was great, but the imagery sucked. Music was horrible. Voice actors didn't match. Like, I've said that before. I don't think I've ever said imagery is on point, sound was awesome, people were great, story sucked.
So my only thing is, just to put only that thing, huh? When it comes to sound, the music was on point. The actors were great.
Yeah.
The audio mixing.
Yeah.
I had a problem with that. Now, I'm not saying that that I'm an audio mix master myself. I mean,
you expect something from somebody who's paid to do this.
Especially with a large budget like that. Yes.
Yeah.
Not sitting there having to crank up the volume all the way to try and hear the voices over music.
See, I kept the subtitles on because I was thinking maybe they do
closed captioning.
Yeah.
Closed captioning.
I call it subtitles because it looked the same. All right. I was just like, wow, they translated this perfect.
Joke's on you.
Right. I kept the closed captioning on, and I really liked that because if I had a question, it was right there. I didn't have to go back and forth, so it didn't break up any of the viewing experience for me. If you're not used to subtitles, it definitely is a distraction, though. Hardcore distraction.
Yes.
But if you had the subtitles up, you got to see some fairly funny dialogue because of the unnamed characters. You'll see student A, student B, student C. And what I thought was really cool with this, it remained consistent. Student C didn't change at all. If a new student came in, like, they went deep in the alphabet to like L and M. And I'm like, oh, why didn't you just give them a name instead of being like random student B and subjected to student A or random adult enters room here? And
because there's no need for it. That's why
it would have been a lot less letters on the TV. Just saying, you've got all these beautifully long foreign names. And then Jim said this. Okay, fine. I can, you know, instead of student M, student B, student N, student C.
I would love to see the closed captioning just changed from student A to Jim. Just like have it be Jim 1, Jim 2, right. Terry, Larry, Tim, Tom, yeah. Jacob. Just like have them all be random names.
Oh, and imagine if you were to structure it to be like, well, okay, so Tim is in school. So all boys in school, specifically Tim 1, Tim 2, Tim 3, when they're outside of school, they're Jason. Jason 1, Jason 2, Jason 3. And it's Susie, Sally, and Sarah. I don't know why all S, but you know, whatever. So
you're special.
Yeah. And at the yeah. Susie, Sam, Sarah, special.
It had great potential. It was awesome. It had some points in there where I thought, I was like, man, that is actually really cool. That is really, really great. Also some parts where I thought it was really funny. Just a couple of spots where it just like owned up to what it was.
Yeah. And I thought for sure it was going to be one of those slice of life POSs you always make me watch that I ended up liking. But like I was expecting, now I realize this is a little bit on me because I came in with preconceived notions about 20 minutes in is when my preconceived notions started. When I first started watching this, I was like, oh God, it's going to be another one of these wartime, just shoot them up, bang them up. No dialogue, no substance. And then you start watching it and you're like, I'm not seeing any of the stuff I'm seeing here. Okay. All right. And then you start to get a feel of the show and you're like, wow, this, okay, not what I was expecting. The title does not make sense for this to happen. All right. Let's see what you've got here. and the story just unfolds like a flower. And it's just, it was very tightly woven together in the beginning, and it opens up and exposes all of the answers you were looking for to the questions that popped up literally 5 minutes before. And you're like, this is great. The pacing is awesome. This is wonderful. I like where they're going. And like, I've got these burning questions, not just questions, but like the movie drew you in and made you want to find out these answers. And then the answers unfortunately happen to be slightly lackluster, heavy on the confusing side.
Or just not there.
There's only like two or three minor questions, in my opinion, that were not answered. Like, what was one of your biggest gripes as far as questions go?
One of the biggest gripes actually came in towards the end.
Most of them did.
The familiar said, and I quote, "The Earth rejects us again, rejects this mission again." In other words, why would you say that? How would you come to that conclusion? And in what way is the Earth rejecting this mission? Right? Number one. Number two, Ryochi says, I'm going to unlock the potential in all these people. If I find out that the mission hasn't changed, or rather, if the mission is a failure and nothing changes in the future, I'm going to take them all back with me to the future. How would he even know if that future has been changed for the better like it was supposed to?
Okay, so I do have two answers for that, and they're not BS answers. They're not just coming out of my butt answers. They're answers that I have evidence to back that up.
Okay.
So my evidence is in the first thing where they're like, the mission is rejected again. In that split second of a time, you find out that the cat is actually the dude's dad. As far as, in my opinion, I don't have anything to go along. My opinion is that the dad was talking to the son via a familiar, because that's in the subtitles. They call that thing a familiar at all times. Now
he does say your dad wouldn't like that. And he says he wouldn't like me to have come back here. So the familiar isn't his dad and it's not talking to him. Additionally, if you watch after the credits scene, the familiar actually becomes that pendant, that metal glass thing too.
Yeah, I did notice that. So that's why I thought it might have been a tool that someone was speaking through. So sometimes it had a mind of its own. Sometimes at that moment in time, the guy called it dad. And so that's where I was coming with my evidence that it was a one-way telephone or a two-way telephone, essentially. Now, as far as that's concerned, he said that it's rejecting it again. He was there before. Remember, the guy said you can only do this like one time, otherwise your heart can't handle it.
Well, that's why the familiar was there before.
I think he was the familiar. I think that's why he was saying it didn't do again.
Well, no, I'm saying the familiar was there before.
Okay.
The kid wasn't there before because Ryochu, mm-hmm. I'm just going to call him Ryo.
Yeah, why?
Says your heart can only handle one round trip.
Correct.
You'll die otherwise. And yes. I think this is proven by Kenji's grandfather's wife who died or whatever else. Because I think it was a round trip for her. She went forward, came back, died. Because, I mean, there's no reason for Kenji to have that potential already unlocked, because they specifically state Kenji's potential was sealed
by someone else. See, here's the thing. Here's my confusion with that. At the very end, they tried to solve a lot of problems in like 20 minutes.
It didn't work.
Yeah, no. So trying to unpack that. There was so much going on, but here's why I think that you're right. The kid didn't come back. That's why I was saying the cat was his dad. As far as, like I said, the two-way, the telephone, I think the dad was there before, which we have evidence that he was. And so that's why he's like, it won't happen again. It's not doing it again. It's because the dad already went back. He tried and failed. The grandpa was the one who blocked him last time. We resisted. So I think that family has a lineage, that family has a history of psychic. Because remember, at the very beginning, he's like, yeah, I don't think holding on to your psychic powers is good. And he covered it up by the guy going, you have a psychic powers? He goes, no, a cell phone.
No, he said, although I still hold on, he says, he talks about how it's not necessarily important or that great to have psychic powers or cell phones that matter, but he still holds on to them just in case.
I think that was a double, I think that was for us more than anything else, because he was like, no, of course I'm even talking about a cell phone. But to us, like, you're already aware he had powers. At the very least, he had powers at one point in time.
Well, yeah.
And we're assuming they were sealed by him. But that assumption, I think, is actually wrong. And the reason I think it's wrong, I'll get into in a minute, because I don't want to get too far off this topic, because I'm trying to be right here for once. I feel like every time you and I have a disagreement of opinion, it comes to where you bring your evidence and point out where I was mistaken.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I was listening to some of our podcasts from a little bit ago, and there was, I'm right a whole lot less than I think I am. So on to me being correct here.
Okay.
The dad came back, tried to do it. The grandpa was able to be like, bitch, no, and send him back packing. And
what? I'm sorry. Say that again. I totally just got lost in what you were saying.
God, it's because I'm trying to get this out so that I don't forget my train of thought. And anyway, so
go ahead.
So our main character, or not the main character, the time traveling dude's dad came back before.
Yeah.
Somehow brought a chick from here back to the future.
Well, we already know that that's possible.
But had a kid with her, and I guess the mom got sent back, which is why she's dead. And the grandpa had a crush on her, but for some reason was not able to seal the deal or something. I don't know, but never married her. So he had a wife and daughter or son, whatever. And he had kids enough to have grandkids. So, I mean, obviously, because our main characters are there. But the grandpa knew what was going on. Like, he wasn't a fool, and he sealed his grandson's ability. Because apparently it's too strong. I don't get that part. But what ends up happening is he's mourning the loss of this lady. And the reason that he's mourning the loss, he had a crush on her. He was like, I always fancied her, that kind of thing. So we assume dude from the future came back, liked her enough to take her with him, had a kid, and then sent her back for some weird reason. She wanted to come back. She was able to get her own powers activated to send back. But the grandpa already had powers. If it's a family thing, if it's genetic, or if it comes down the line, you got to assume that the grandpa had just continually been sealing powers off, and the grandkid had the powers already because the grandpa had it, right?
Yeah.
So that's how I justify the kid having powers and the grandpa sealing them away. It could be just an evolutionary thing like they were talking about, which I don't quite get. It could be an extinction level thing. It could be a lot of things.
They talk about the extinction level because they're on the moon. They specifically state that the power started surfacing and coming around because they were basically pushed against a wall and had to find a way. And there's not enough there for them to be able to survive. So, you know, they do what they can to try and make with who's there be possible.
Yeah.
Also, from the technology that the grandfather have, also kind of leads you to believe that he's actually from the future, just came back from the past, and that's how the mom got back to the past, and he decided to stay there. Had wife, kids, everything like that, had grandchildren.
You actually have a point. It could have been that guy went back in time, got a chick, brought her back, had a kid. The grandpa had a crush on her, and she was like, I'm homesick. I want to go back home. Grandpa decides to time jump with her, the one way ticket that he's got, you know, fly back. This makes so much more sense. Jeez, the grandpa flies back with her. She dies because she can't handle it. He always pines after her and says, I kind of wish, you know, all that stuff. Ends up staying in the past, having a kid, all that stuff, starts that lineage, if you will. So yeah, you have a point right there. Oh, geez, you have the situation where you could be your own grandfather.
Ugh. That's what one of the questions that I also have is, like, is he his own grandpa? I mean, like, could that potentially be the situation that we're worrying about? Which I kind of got worried about a little bit when Kenji time jumped with Ryo
and the grandpa,
and then
died.
his grandpa didn't die. His grandpa is still alive.
Really? I saw him fall over and pass out.
He's still alive. Cause if you watch the credits, you see his sister with the grandfather, and the grandfather's in a wheelchair. Still alive. Huh.
So, I didn't make that connection.
So I thought maybe that he died and that Kenji died. And then after the credits scene at the very end, you see Kenji's back in town, has his own little familiar, turns into a diamond thing. You know, you see that. All right, let's go ahead and pause while he goes ahead and confirms.
One
this.
Second, because I didn't see all that part.
All right, hang on 1 second. All right. For everyone else, it's been a couple of seconds.
This is bullshit.
What?
What do you mean, what?
What?
This is bullshit. They pull an Avengers on me. It's not even a good Avengers. It was like a...
Look.
I'm lucky I'm not rich. I'm lucky I'm not rich. And the reason I'm lucky I'm not rich is because my phone... Which, do I want to remove this? Yes, I want to remove this from my device. If I was rich, my phone would be through so many walls. I would have had like 19 other phones. Okay.
So yes, Grandpa's still very much alive. Yeah. And Kenji is very much back.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he is. Yeah, he is.
And you see his familiar turn into a stone.
Yeah.
So, anyways, back to what you were trying to say, sir.
I don't even know if I want to continue. This is bull. Like, I had everything lined up. It was flawless. Like, straight genius level. And they had to go pull this.
You're welcome for...
I don't think you are. No, you're not. You're not. This doesn't make it any better.
It makes it a lot funnier for me.
Oh, I'm sure. I am sure. Okay. So what I was trying to say before I was so rudely corrected. Do you see right here? This is what I'm talking about. I can't be right. I can't. I cannot. Sure, even when I'm right, I'm wrong.
You can be right all you want, man. You can be right all you want. There's nothing stopping you.
You probably did that when I was zero. And 3 seconds later, it's really been more for us. Okay. All right. So I'm just going to bypass everything I was just saying, mainly because I'm frustrated and forgot what I was saying. And go with my... No, I can't even say that. I was going to say I had another whole thing, a whole little gripe. And you're like, no, continue watching.
So... Those are a couple of my complaints that we obviously had aired out, and there's still remaining gripes for me for questions unanswered.
Okay, no, so I'm gonna still try. I'm still gonna try, even with this new information. I'm still gonna try. So, Grandpa's from the future. I'm pretty sure we're confident about that. Came back, had some babies, started a new psychic generation. So that's a paradox in and to itself, because the Grandpa is only there because the chick was brought forward in time, right? Yep. But the grandpa, the kid went back and saw the grandpa there. So he should have known. Like, the kid's dad should have known the grandpa was there and recognized him and stuff like that, because the girl was, headaches hurt. Do you know what I mean, though? Like,
yeah, sure.
If the grandpa stopped him
in the past and
he was still living in the future.
Well, here's the thing, right? And what Ryo said was to the grandpa, you know, that's what my father wants you to do, is to unleash Kenji's power. So he sent his son there knowing full well that Kenji was there and that Kenji's grandfather was there and that he would ultimately be put into a position where Kenji would have his powers released.
What was also kind of confusing to me was the grandpa kind of... Okay, so this clears up a bunch of different cryptic things the grandpa was saying, because the grandpa was like, wow, he still has a grudge against him. And you're like, for how would you know if he still had a grudge? He's from the future, probably a friend of the guy.
Yeah.
Now, if you think about it, the father's been a mystery the entire time, because we have no idea who is mad at Kenji. None. Anyway.
So we'll go ahead. We'll move on past it. It's all right.
One more problem with the story. One more problem with the story.
Well, yeah, obviously.
Mm.
So here's something I got. Kenji is a straight up baller, especially when he's trying to get Natsuki's attention. Starts off by throwing acorns at her window.
Yeah.
Goes to blowing them through a flute like it's a blow dart.
Yeah.
Goes to hand air power. Yeah.
He's like, this isn't working. Increase the power. And then he basically blows her boob off.
Just shoots her right in the chest with a almond or acorn. He creates an air-powered gun that
is strong enough to crack a window.
And it has a scope on it, too.
Yeah. Like, dude got high-tech with this.
It has a tripod. It has a scope. He's got pumps for it. It's, like, straight up awesome. It's my favorite scene. It's, like, it's not like he had that to begin with. It progressed.
Yeah. He made it bigger and better. And you know this is probably the peak he's gone because the window wasn't cracked before his attempts unless they replaced it a few times.
Yeah.
But the thing that I was like, so there was a love triangle or a love square, if you even want to call it that, where a chick loved a guy who loved a chick who loved another guy.
So, but nobody liked each other. Here's the breakdown.
Okay.
Natsuki likes Kenji. Kenji, yep, oblivious to this, likes Kahori. And Kahori likes Ryo.
Yeah.
And that's it. You have that straight line of progression. Natsuki and Kenji actually grew up together. They are neighbors. They've been together for a really long time. And she has dreams, reoccurring dreams, about telling Kenji how she feels about him.
Well, that's just, I think that actually happened.
Here's the interesting thing, and I'm pretty sure you're right. The only thing that's really interesting is when she remembers another time when actually Kenji's in the hospital, she specifically states that Kenji had actually died and she used her power to go back in time and force a change so that way he wouldn't die.
So I have a question about that because that confused me so hard.
And like, as a result, she lost her powers.
Yeah.
So she actually had it, but then she ended up losing it.
Yeah, she force activated, which I guess gives you a crap ton of power. And then once she force activated, she lost the ability to. So it was kind of like you overloaded your senses and you burned out your circuitry.
Right.
In another scene, so you see her by the bedside and Kenji walks up and goes, oh, looks like I died, but you went back and saved me. Thanks. And starts to walk away. I'm like, that's kind of a dick move. but then later on, the role is reversed where she's on the hospital bed and he's not. And they don't explain that at all.
Yeah. And it, again, it goes with the same line that, oh, we tried saving the Earth, but the Earth is rejecting us again, which again, brings back to the point of like, how would you even know that what you're attempting to change the future has either passed or failed? Because if it succeeded, you wouldn't be there. I mean, like, so how would you even know?
And on top of that, apparently cell phones are evil.
Yeah. Well, obviously.
Well, no, like the whole premise is cell phones are bad.
Yeah. Cell phones are bad, banned from school. And then the student council somehow miraculously is able to make it so that the teachers are also have to follow the cell phones ban rules and everything like that.
Well, they hold ultimate power. They did explain that really, really well.
They did. I thought it was really good, but
it made sense as far as power goes.
It made sense as far as power go. They did explain that. They also explained why the vice principal was actually on board with it, which is he sees them as very mighty and powerful students because they have the psychic abilities and he feels like they would know better than he does simply because of their power, literal power as well. They explained a little bit of that too, which I thought was done.
Well, yeah. Up to a certain point, the story, everything flawless. Everything was great. Till about an hour 30.
It was good at some points. At the beginning, it was good in the middle. It was, well, not always.
There was a few things. So they did really good job of setting up questions, answering those questions, not in the order you wanted them to, but in an order that made sense.
Right.
You found out stuff at the same time as the character found out stuff, which I thought was kind of cool. What I never understood was that dog. Was that dog a familiar or was that dog power?
See, I don't know.
Because we never see the dog again.
No, we don't. But we see some magical collar on the dog, and then the dog runs and then gets faster and faster and faster and then turns into a bleeding light, and then Kenji's powers are unlocked. And
the yeah. team?
I don't know. One of the things, one of the other comedic points is everyone has cell phones and they're told they can't even bring it with them to school or you're going to get suspended. And
yeah, I remember.
I love Natsuki's response in that, give me my phone. You can't take it away from me. Fine. Well, you're still suspended for the next 10 days. Her response is, I'm still going to come. What are you going to do about that?
Hey, you're going to stop me from coming to school? How dare you? I made a promise.
Well, exactly. Which is great. It's like, okay, well, you have someone that's literally suspended and they're threatening to still come to school to learn.
Yeah. You can't stop my education. You got the SATs coming up.
Exactly. Which is, I thought was really great. What's also awesome is without anyone telling Kenji, he just knew something was wrong.
A few times.
Yeah. And he appears in his Speedos because he was at a swim meet wearing his goggles at the apparent court hearing to try and force Natsuki to their will, which she wasn't having it at all, and pointed out a lot of problems and flaws with their logic in and of itself.
Oh, yeah, and a really awesome monologue I thought was great.
Oh, yeah.
Something about, even though you gain telepathy and you're able to communicate freely back and forth, you're all cowards because instead of saying what you mean, you need someone else to come and seek it out of you. It'd be like if you and I were having a fight, instead of you and I talking about it, we had telepathy. I went in your mind and dug out your reasoning, or I'm being a punk and you dig into my brain and find out why, rather than you going, bruh, what's up? And me verbally saying something. Or, you know, it takes the bravery and the courage out of confrontation. Not, I'm not saying confrontation's brave or good or bad. Confrontation's necessary for growth in any form. To learn something new is to confront your own ignorance.
Yep.
So confrontation, in my opinion, is necessary for either forward, backward, for movement, for growth, for understanding. You have to always, at least in certain instances, always confront what you don't know and overcome or regress. If you overcome, you now have new knowledge that can be challenged. If you regress, you know, it sucks, but you'll have many more opportunities to be challenged again. You know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean.
So, I mean, you challenge me often. I say one thing on this on the podcast, and you're like, actually, no, you have it backwards. I'm like, no, I got it right. And you're like, well, here's the proof. And I go, you're still wrong. And you go, actually, I am the editor. And I'm like, oh, crap. Yeah. Case in point. I love you. I do. But you left something in a previous podcast that is hilarious. And I didn't realize it was there until I was like, hey, mom, you should listen. For the record, points, if you know what I'm talking about, feel free to let us know in the Discord if you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's very blatant. You wouldn't want your mother hearing this.
Hey, I try to leave it wholly untouched. All right.
Yeah,
I like the conversations we have. I try to keep them as pure as possible.
Oh, no, I agree. You do a fantastic job.
Thank you.
That was edited. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Emphasis on the pure.
Yeah, right. Goodness. I don't know, man.
My favorite response to that whole thing, to kind of bring it right back. When she's there and he shows up, I love his response. He pulls his phone out of his swim trunks that's been right there by his junk the whole time.
So he's wearing Speedos, European style Speedos, swimmer Speedos, real tight. Not a lot for storage space.
Exactly. And says, here, you can take my phone, throws it across the room, and it just starts steaming. Just starts steaming. And some of the women are going red from embarrassment. He's like, yeah, just take my phone. Go ahead. No one wants to touch it because of where it's been.
Well, the thing I was like, what the heck? It slid across the floor so hard. I thought there was like a slope or maybe he put baby oil on it. I don't know. That would explain the smoking. But like this thing slid for a good 20 feet. He tossed it 4 feet away, but it went like it had no friction. And then it hit a wall, I guess at 20 feet away. So I'm like, geez, if you could get that kind of lubricant on like some of the working machinery I have, it would. The seals would never break. Like, this is amazing. Again, anime style lube. And I'm like, you know what? That would make perfect sense. He was going for a swim meet. Maybe they lathered him up fastest in the league. You know, just saying.
Never know.
Jeez.
But it was great because it really brought that whole story, or not the whole story, but a large portion of the story up to a tipping point.
Yeah.
And it went from a comedic moment to another comedic moment almost flawlessly. And it really spoke to Kenji's priorities.
Well, here's what I was really impressed with. The writing of the story, and this, you're right, it went from comedic moment to comedic moment, but it wasn't like a ha-ha to another ha-ha. It went to ha-ha, oh shit, ha-ha. And yeah. the reason I'm saying that, it went from that whole monologue to he telepathically picks up his cell phone, tries to hand it to Nigiri, is that her name?
Natsuki.
Natsuki, I was close. It started with an N and ended with an E.
It ends with an I.
Well, I mean, it was an I, but it's E sound. Anyway, she's like, I'm not touching your phone. He's less like, keep it up telepathically. He gets out. So that was funny. He gets out of the room. And of course, the foreign exchange student, or the new kid, what was his name again?
Rio. We're going with Rio.
Rio, yeah. It was like long. Rowan Noah Ryosuke or something. Anyway.
Rio Ichi.
Yeah. So Rio. He goes, well, now that you've accepted your power, we have to fight. And it's come to this. And he goes, yeah, we should go to the beach. Like, he's like, wait, what? He's like, yeah, it's summertime. Let's go to the beach.
Tomorrow's Saturday.
Yeah, tomorrow's Saturday. Let's go to the beach. So it went from a let's fight to the death to pool, party time, let's go to the ocean.
Which is great because then they end up going to the beach and there's a tsunami.
Yeah. Yeah, a typhoon. I think this is what they said.
Yeah.
Now, explain this to me. Three people there are ignoring this crazy weather. One person's going, are we not going to acknowledge that it's happening? And they still ignore it. Like, it was meta. She was throwing out there like, look, it's really not okay to be here. Or maybe we should go inside. No, they're all ignoring it. Oh, we made sandwiches. Oh, did a shark just fly by because it was part of Sharknado? Maybe. But we've got these sandwiches. And I've never seen sandwiches blow people's heads up.
I have no idea how Kahori prepared the food, but apparently she is a really bad cook.
Really bad. Comically so. But yeah, I don't know. It was good up until maybe that point. And then after that, it started just trying to solve all of the problems it had. It tried to jam pack a bunch of information that didn't really feel right, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think it could have been planned a little bit, but a lot better, to be honest. The story seems solid. The climax of the movie, in my opinion, is when Rio's like, I got to go home. I can't bring anybody with me. And you guys are going to forget me after I'm gone. And Kenshi comes in and he basically breaks his return ticket. And he and Rio falls to despair hard. He's like, I'm stuck in between times and I don't belong in the future because my mom's not there. I don't belong in the past from where she's at because I'm not of this world. This era doesn't accept me and I'm stuck. And now it's just depressing, just hardcore depressing. And then Kenshi's like, you know what? I think I got enough juice to make a one way trip back home. Let's go home. And he tells everyone like, wait for me.
Well, he tells Natsuki to wait for him.
Whatever you do, wait for me. I'll be back. Wait for me. And this is the part that should have made me cry. They both vanish and
goes back to what we said earlier.
Yeah. She forgets him.
Yeah.
She doesn't just forget him. She picks up the two-way like walkie-talkie with two cones on a string. And she says, Kenji. And she goes, why did I just say that?
Who's Kenji?
Who's Kenji?
Who's that?
And that was the credits. That's where I dipped out. And I'm like, okay, whatever.
You're welcome for that.
Yeah. And then they definitely did fix that, in my opinion, because at the very end, he rolls up with the same familiar or a similar looking familiar. He makes a phone call and he's like, you know, this should have triggered your memory again. And she goes, moron, moron, moron. Yep. You remember your next door neighbor. But does that mean everybody else does too?
Probably.
Because that'd be kind of interesting. That's interesting how the timeline would affect just that, you know?
Yeah. Which, you know, again, brings to question, like, what the hell just happened? Why was the timeline affected that way? Like, how long? I'm assuming 1 year's passed.
It looked like it. Now, I'm also kind of curious, why did the dad have such, for lack of a better term, a hard-on for revenge? And why didn't he take care of it when his son comes back with Kenji?
Intellectual revenge, I guess. And he tried, but Ryo failed, and Kenji, I'm assuming, just doesn't
too strong.
Have, I guess.
They do talk about their independent strength. Like, Kenji apparently is uber strong, and Ryo's strong just regardless. You see how he operates and how he maneuvers stuff, and you're like, wow, that's some serious power. And he's like, yeah, Kenji, you've outclassed me. If we were bright lights, you would be the sun and I would be the moon.
Yep.
So, I mean, maybe he was just too strong.
Maybe. Answers we will never get.
Yeah.
So, brings us to a rating, sir, on a scale of up to 10. How would you rate this?
That's a damn good question. I had more fun talking about it than I did watching it. Does that?
Yes, it makes perfect sense.
Oh, dear Lord. I'm going to go with, before I saw that ending, it was going to be like a 2 or a 3. I'm going to be perfectly honest. Seeing that with the credits, they did try to give you some kind of ending, and it didn't leave me with that sense of loss that I had when I saw the credits roll. I'm going to give it a 6 because I think it's a little bit better. No. I'm going to give it a 7. I'm going to give it a 7 because up until that final part, it was great. Like, I can't discount the music, the animation, the quality of the story, the voice acting. Like, all of that was really, really good. And then just the last 20 minutes that I realized that in a race, you know, you could have 98 fantastic laps and 2 crappy laps and end up in last place.
Yep.
So, I mean, I realized the end is where it counts, but I still think it's worth the watch. I think that I would recommend it to somebody else to be like, hey, if you want to see, I would warn them, like, the ending's going to be a little bit confusing, but if you watch it 2 times, it'll make sense.
Okay.
So a 7, right? Because I would recommend this to other people. I might even watch it again. Not now, but like, I might watch it again. And I think that that's worth something, you know?
Okay. Fair enough.
What about you?
For me,
I'm envisioning like a 4 or a 5.
Nah,
for me.
I'm giving it a 6.
Really? Okay.
I'm giving it a 6. The artwork, the scenery, the music, the voice actors, it was done. I had the issues with the audio. I didn't really like it, where the voices were either really, really low for no reason, or it got drowned out by the music. That really bothered me. Again, I'm no master of audio myself. No, by any means. I mean, like, if you listen to the podcast, you obviously know the audio isn't magnificent, but I do my best. But for a studio such as this, I would have expected a much better audio quality in that regard.
I can see that.
I have too many questions still for the story that really didn't leave a great taste in my mouth.
What's your biggest question? I don't think we answered that.
We did
with the story.
We can't answer the questions. that's the problem.
Okay. I was going to say, what was your biggest question as far as pertaining to the story goes? But that's also a good answer.
Yeah, exactly. But other than that, I do agree with you. It is worth at least a watch. It is. I mean, like, if anything, the artwork alone, just the scenery, the visuals alone are just well worth it. Well worth it. All right. Well, next week is your choice, sir.
I don't really know what we're going to watch. I mean, I was thinking One Punch! French. Man, season two. Sorry for your ears. I don't throw that out there. Sorry for your ears. But yeah, One Punch season two. Do you think we should attempt to see the special six episodes, or just maybe do the six episodes at a different time?
We could probably try and do the six special episodes maybe at another time.
Okay. We'll put that on the back burner. We'll do that when we do the movie.
All right. Well, the movie is actually just like an OVA. Like
perfect.
30 minutes.
Oh. I mean, perfect. Oh, God. All right. So, yeah, that's my choice for next week.
All right. Sounds good. Well, if you like this week's choice, didn't like this week's choice, if you feel like we missed something, hit something, anything like that, feel free to let us know. You can reach out to us, featuredanimepodcast@gmail.com, at Those Anime Guys on Twitter. We're always in the Discord. Always be happy to have you all join us in there, talk about whatever it is we missed, didn't miss, thought was great, whatever Rick got wrong, whatever whatever I got right. You know, just feel free to talk to us about whatever. Oh, God. If you're listening to this on YouTube, feel free to leave a comment. Be happy to respond to you on there as well. Don't forget to like, rate, review, and subscribe wherever you choose to consume this podcast. It really does help us out. And until next time, I'm Jack.
And if this anime was worth a watch, I guarantee we're worth a listen. I'm Rick, and I'll see you next time.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.